Good morning, everyone. My name is Steve. If you're new here, I'm one of the pastors, and I'd like to welcome all of you. So glad that you have joined us this morning, and I know some of you are here for the baptisms. We're excited about that. Those who are being baptized this morning are professing their allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so grateful that they have come to this point in their lives where they're ready to take that step, to profess their allegiance to Jesus. The salvation, the life that Jesus offers us is absolutely free. But here's the thing, it can also cost us dearly. And that's what we're going to think about this morning as we open up the scriptures. A part of our church's practice when we gather to worship God is to open up His Word. And so I would invite you to find the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, in your Bible or on your Bible app, or right in front of you, in the chair in front of you, there's a blue-covered Bible that looks like this. If you get one that has a black cover and you open it up, it's going to be Spanish. We have a Spanish-speaking part of our church that meets here in the afternoon. So unless you can read Spanish, you might want to just check to the chair to the right or left of that one in front of you. You should find a blue-covered Bible. It looks just like the one I'm holding. And the page number is 1038. We are going to look at a short little section of words that Jesus spoke, Luke chapter 9, in verses 23 through 26. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. And we want to understand, what is the cost of following Jesus? And is it worth it? Again, the life that He offers us, the salvation, the rescue from an empty way of life that He offers us is absolutely free. We could never earn it. The Bible makes that clear. It's a gift of God's grace that we receive through trusting in Him. But when we receive that, that life can cost us, and we want to understand, is it worth it? So this is what Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. He's speaking to His disciples, and He said, verse 23, "Then He said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow Me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for Me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of Me and My words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when He comes in His glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels.'" This is the word of the Lord. So what is the cost of discipleship? And is it worth it? You see in verse 23 that Jesus calls His disciples to costly allegiance. He wants them to be committed to Him, but there's going to be a cost to that. He said, "Whoever wants to be My disciple," that word disciple simply means a learner. Whoever wants to be a learner, who wants to be committed to Me, must, three things here, deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow Me. So if you want to be a disciple, if you want to be someone who has pledged their allegiance to Jesus, put their faith and trust in Him to receive His gift of eternal life, to receive the blessings of this rescue attempt that the Bible describes from beginning to end, what is that going to cost you, even though it's absolutely free? Well, there are three images here in verse 23 that describe what that is. First of all, it's a life of self-denial. Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves. But that's really hard for us because do you know what the number one religion is in the United States? In my opinion, the number one religion in the United States is Steve-ism, or Joe-ism, or Ruth-ism, or you put your name there and then put the word ism after it. We are people who have been conditioned to worship ourselves. Our God is me, right? It's that sovereign self. You hear people talk about expressive individualism. That means that at the very center of our lives is our self. And every decision that we make is about me. How does it affect me? How does it affect my comfort, my happiness, my interests, my dreams? Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself. So it's a life of self-denial. Instead of worshiping our interest, making ourselves our God, Jesus is the one to whom we give our allegiance. He also says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily. Now, what does that mean? Discipleship, then, is a life of self-denial. It's also a life of daily cross-bearing. And what Jesus is doing here is he's using an image, a picture, out of this culture. In fact, one that he is going to experience. In the previous verses, if you read those, he described for his disciples that he was going to suffer, that he was going to be killed. And then he was going to be raised on the third day, but that killing would involve crucifixion. And in the ancient Roman Greek world, and at this time Israel was controlled by, was under Roman rule, when crucifixion was practiced, the criminal who was sentenced to die would carry his crossbeam. Behind me is a replica of a cross, and you see that horizontal beam in Jesus' day, a lot of times it was at the very top, so it looked more like a capital letter T than a small letter T, rather than that cross beam intersecting. It was probably at the top. But a condemned criminal would carry that cross beam to the place of their execution. That was part of the humiliation, part of the punishment. And so they would carry that crossbeam and take it to the place of their execution. And Jesus uses that picture. He says, that's what disciples do. They take up their cross daily and follow me. In other words, it's a daily matter. There's a daily trek to the place of execution. And what does that mean? Well, it's referring to submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's submission to the crucified Lord that we serve, and even recognizing that we have to accept suffering for him. You know, there are places and times in the world and even today where people daily are risking their lives for following Jesus, for being his disciple. I think in our Western world, that's usually not the case. I don't begin my day worrying if I'm going to lose my life because of my commitment to Jesus. It could happen, but that seems relatively rare in our culture. So what does this mean for us today? If discipleship is a life of daily cross-bearing, then what does that mean? One thing I think we have to be careful to understand is that it doesn't refer to the hurts and the pain and the tragedies that we face as human beings. Everybody faces those. You know, whether that could be a disease that we're dealing with, a failed marriage, a tragic death in the family, those are all horribly painful experiences, aren't they? But they're part of living life in a world that's been broken because of sin and because of evil. Now, when Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must take up their cross daily, he's referring to the rejection that we might receive from some people if we follow Jesus, or at the very least, misunderstanding. Don't you hate it when somebody doesn't understand you, or they think you're a fool? Sometimes that's what it might be like. If you're following Jesus and you are loving others just as and trying to forgive others just as God in Christ forgave you, it might mean that you step into a situation where you know there's going to be a lot of pain and hurt and difficulty, but you do it because of your allegiance to Jesus. That's what it means to live a life of daily cross-bearing. That every day we recognize that following Jesus can mean some hard times in our lives, some suffering, often at the hands of others. They may not kill us, but they may hurt us with their words, with their refusal to engage in a relationship with us, to turn their backs on us. So discipleship is costly because it's a life of self-denial. Secondly, it's a life of cross-bearing. And third, it's a life of following Jesus. At the end of verse 23, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves first. Secondly, take up their cross daily. Third, follow me. And that really becomes the best one-word description of a disciple. A disciple is a follower of Jesus. You say, well, that doesn't sound too painful. Well, it can be, because in our culture, who are we told to follow? It kind of goes back to that first point. Follow me, but it's follow my heart. I'm supposed to follow my heart. You're supposed to follow your heart. That's what we're told. And Jesus says, no, you follow me. You're not God. Jesus says, you follow me. So again, God's salvation is absolutely free. It's received by faith, but it's costly, isn't it? If you struggle to wrap your minds around that, maybe think of it like this. It might be a little bit like receiving a college scholarship to play the violin, to be a violinist. And by the way, this is where the analogy breaks down a little bit. No illustration is perfect. But in that illustration, you receive that gift because you are really good at playing the violin, because you have some music proficiency. Those kinds of scholarships aren't out there for anyone. Hey, if you want to play the violin, we've got this scholarship to offer you. No, you've got to be good already. And that's where the illustration breaks down, because God doesn't give his salvation to us because we're good, does he? No, he gives it to people like me who just flat out don't deserve it. Okay, so get past that point, but otherwise the rest of the illustration works. If you receive that college scholarship to play the violin, it may be free. All your tuition, all your room and board is going to be paid, but there's a cost to it, isn't it? You know, it's going to cost you time and sacrifice and all sorts of things. A number of you remember our son Luke, who graduated from Libertyville High School in 2012, I think it was. And he ended up playing football at the University of North Dakota. He was offered a scholarship, had some looks from Big Ten schools, and then they realized he was slower in person when they got him to their camps than he looked like on film. But he still ended up at University of North Dakota, got a college scholarship. They paid his tuition, his room and board. It was absolutely free. It was great as a parent. Now, he had a good experience, and I want to make that clear. If you ask him about it, he'll say, yeah, it was worth the cost, but he would say something like that. It was costly. All of a sudden, he's got people telling him, this is what you're going to eat. And here are the workouts that you go through, and even some of the voluntary workouts he found out, he knew this going in, were really involuntary. And there were times where he couldn't come home during the summer. He had like a week off, but he had those involuntary workouts where he was in the weight room and they're watching what he eats, and he had to be there. I remember him talking about the pressure of games, and he once he made reference to the fact that he threw up before a game, and this is after his career. I said, "How often did you do that?" And he looked at me like, "Duh, every game." You know, that's the pressure. It's that intense. Thankfully, he was spared major injuries like some of the other players, but he had to have some work done towards the end of his career just to repair damage. I mean, it was free in one sense, but it was costly in another. And that's what salvation is like. That's what discipleship is like. Following Jesus is like that. Now, the question is it worth the cost? And Jesus answers that in verses 24 to 26. And what he argues is that giving absolute allegiance to him, that is to Jesus, is actually the most cost-effective way you could ever spend your life. Notice what he says, verse 24, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." And the point he's making is that you must lose your life to save it. Yeah, that sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? But that's how it works. I mean, sometimes you have to take a loss in order to make a gain. Do you remember back in the days before Traeger grills or Pit Boss grills, these wonderful, gas grills, or now, you know, the electric ones you put the pellets in? Do any of you remember buying charcoal briquettes? Do you remember that? Yeah, some of you do. I remember one day I was in a grocery store buying those Kingsford charcoal briquettes. I mean, they were the best, right? And I had a friend who was the manager of that grocery store, and he saw me, and he said, "Oh, yeah, you're buying Kingsford briquettes. We lose money on those." And I said, "Well, why do you sell them then?" He said, "Well, see all the other stuff you've got in your grocery cart? That's why we sell them, because it gets people into the store. And if we don't carry Kingsford briquettes," I can't even pronounce the word, it's so far in the rearview mirror. It's easier to say gas grill, isn't it? But he said, "If we don't carry Kingsford briquettes, then people are going to shop somewhere else, and they're not going to buy the stuff like you're buying in your cart. We have to take a loss in order to make money." And that's the way it works in God's kingdom. There's some sacrifices you have to make. There's some things that you have to give up. I mean, as soon as you say, "My allegiance is to Jesus, not primarily to my own dreams. He is the God I serve. I am not God." Then you're, in a sense, losing your life. But oh, what you're doing is you're saving it. There's great gain that goes with that. Related to that, the second reason why giving absolute allegiance to Jesus is the most cost-effective way to spend your life in verse 25 is that the world is not enough. He says, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" World is not enough. Friends, money, sex, power, those things will never satisfy us the way that we think they will. And so if you gain all of the money in the world, you had all of the relationships that you wanted, the sexual relationships, if you had all the power, the fame, it would never be enough. Friends, the world is not enough. Third reason why giving absolute allegiance to Jesus is the most cost-effective way to live is in verse 26. It's already said you must lose your life to save it, verse 24. The world is not enough, verse 25. And then in verse 26, Jesus makes it clear that those who are ashamed of him now will not be able to share in his future glory. He says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man, and that's an expression that that he used, took that from the Hebrew Bible, the Jewish scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. He used that expression to describe himself. This, the Son of Man, Daniel 7, was this glorious figure. Anyway, he says, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Now, I have to confess, when I read that, I get concerned. And I remember times in my life where I've been ashamed of Jesus. I haven't had the courage to speak up. If you had that, you walk away from a conversation. You think, why didn't I say something? Well, because we're ashamed to say something about Jesus. I'm convinced, though, that what Jesus is talking about here are not momentary lapses that we all have at times. After all, remember the Apostle Peter who denied Jesus three times? Was he ashamed of Jesus? Yeah, absolutely he was, but Jesus wonderfully restored him. This is not talking about momentary lapses. This is talking about a complete way of life where we are always ashamed of Jesus. We do not want to identify with him, and that's the concern. Those ashamed of Jesus now will not be able to share in his future glory. And of course, that's the life that God has prepared for us, life in a new heaven and a new earth that we will one day live, the life of our dreams, a life without all the problems we face. And we're going to look to Scripture next Sunday and think about what that will be. It's a life of beauty, a life of intimacy, a life of adventure. And Jesus' point is, you're going to miss out on that life to come if you are ashamed of me now, if you live your life now in a way that just pushes me out of the picture because you're not interested in what I, Jesus, have to offer. Friends, giving absolute allegiance to Jesus is the most cost-effective way to spend your life. Let me wrap this up with a couple of questions that you might be asking. One of the questions is, well, what about my dreams? Does that mean that it's wrong to have a dream, maybe the dream of being a concert violinist or a concert pianist or an engineer or a teacher, whatever else? Well, what about my dreams? Does that mean that I can't have dreams if I follow Jesus? Well, I'm convinced as I read Scripture, you can have dreams, what you'd like to do with your life, but they always have to be in service to Jesus. That the ultimate, that the primary purpose and drive of your life is serving Jesus. And if you subsume that dream under that, then you can have them. In fact, here's my experience, just what I've observed over the years. I think that people who put Christ first contribute more to their company or more to their team and more to their relationships than those who put their company first or their team first or their relationships first. You know what? That's not naive. Some of you remember Ben Zobrist, 2016, won the World Series MVP for the Cubs. I mean, he was a committed follower of Jesus Christ. That didn't stop him from winning a World Series with the Royals the year before and then won with the Cubs in 2016. I'd say his commitment to Jesus allowed him a way to live. It gave him a proper perspective, and all the while he's winning World Series, he's he's seeing teammates come to faith in Jesus and even baptizing them. I think of a couple of sisters who grew up in our church not that many years ago, and both of them are living their dreams. They're super smart. They're both doing PhDs, one back at MIT in chemical engineering, the other in quantum physics at Caltech. Not too bad, huh? But you know what I love about it? Both of them are very committed to the Lord Jesus. And so, yes, and on one hand, they're following their dream, but they're making that be a servant of their commitment to the Lord Jesus. The other question that you might be asking is, how can I ever do it? This sounds good. Yeah, I get it. Giving absolute allegiance to Jesus is the most cost-effective way to live my life, but I don't know if I can do it. And the wonderful answer is you can. You have what it takes, and what it takes is not your strength, your power, your willpower, but you have Jesus. You remember what the Apostle Paul said back in Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13. He's writing to a church, and he tells them that he has learned the secret of success in both times of having plenty and in times where he doesn't have a lot or even enough. And then he says, I can do all this, all these things, through Christ who strengthens me. When you commit your allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll give you the power. He'll give you the strength through his Spirit. So friends, don't give your life to something less. Give absolute allegiance to Jesus, because that is the most cost-effective way to spend your life. Let's pray. Father, help us to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. Lord, help us to see that that's the only way of living that makes sense. That living solely for ourselves, for our dreams, for our happiness, for our advancement, our success, is, in the end, not a cost-effective way of living life. So Father, help us to follow Jesus with greater devotion. We need his power to do that. We need your Holy Spirit's power. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.